Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pedro Porro to Tottenham, here we go, confirmed, guys, and I'm really proud because today morning we had many rumors of a deal collapsing, but was not collapsing. They had problems over the night, Sporting and Tottenham, but everything was under control on Tottenham's side. They were keeping contacts with Sporting, with agents, with the player. Pedro Porro didn't train during the afternoon to force the move. He only wanted Tottenham. Pedro Porro was crucial to get this deal done, and Tottenham, during the whole morning and the whole afternoon, they were negotiating with Sporting, with the agents involved, and the deal is done. So, agreement, Tottenham Sporting confirmed also on the payment terms. We can confirm what we say, there we go. So, €45 million with the payment terms agreed this time. And so, Porro will undergo medical tests on deadline day with Tottenham and will be announced as the new right winger for Antonio Conte. So, done deal, Pedro Porro to Tottenham.
Hello and welcome to The Last Word on Spurs. We hope you're keeping very, very safe and well. Happy deadline day to each and every one of you that are listening back to this on, if it's your morning commute or it's your morning run. And this will probably feel very, very much outdated right now, but on Monday evening, deadline day eve, myself and the brilliant Matty Hayes had the absolute pleasure of speaking to Sammy Mockbell, the chief football reporter of the Daily Mail, where at the time of recording with Sammy, it's fair to say that Pedro Porro's future was hanging in the balance of him being a Tottenham player. And in typical Tottenham and in Last Word on Spurs fashion, we got the announcement midway through the show that Pedro Porro would be a Spurs player. And currently, as I record this to you right now, Pedro Porro is landing in London with his agents in order to complete a deadline day move to Tottenham. But look, it's nothing like drama, as always, on Last Word on Spurs. So half of this conversation will make no absolute sense because we are talking about Spurs trying to work out and resolve the issues of Pedro Porro's deal. But look, have a listen. Hope you enjoy your route in, if it's to work or on a morning run. And listen to some of the other conversations we've had from Sammy in relation to some of the other players, Antonio Conte, Fabio Paratici's future. And hopefully by the time you listen to this, Pedro Porro is a Tottenham Hotspur player.
And fired home by Perisic!
It's Eric Dier, bang! Here's Lucas Moura, oh, they did it!
Brilliant, and an equaliser from Ben Davis!
Neuvier!
What a strike by Bissouma!
Well, he goes tying it again and wins it. Great work from Romero, what a save by Lloris! Jed Spence, oh! Off the bar, Richarlison! Kulusevski! The striking Gaston scores! Crossing Kane! Can you truly believe this?
Hello and welcome to The Last Word on Spurs. We hope you're keeping very, very safe and well. Thank you so much for joining us on deadline day eve. I know what you're thinking. If it was any other club, you'd be excited, but we're Spurs. So I'll let you be the judge of what that means. If you're listening to the show for the first time, you can find us on iTunes or on Spotify or across all major audio platforms. We're, of course, on Twitter at Last Word on Spurs. We're on Facebook and Instagram too. And one man who's been non-stop talking about Tottenham throughout this transfer window alongside me, maybe he's even looking forward to the end of it. We've got the brilliant Matty Hayes joining us. Matt, you can be honest, mate. Are you looking forward to the ending of what's going to happen with Tottenham?
I can't wait for it, to be honest, Ricky. I haven't been able to get off Twitter over the last 24 or so hours, waiting for good news and then getting bad news and waiting to see if the next bit of news is going to be good or bad. It's it's a roller coaster. But look, we're used to it, and we still do it. So I'm not quite sure what's wrong with us, but yeah, it's going to be an interesting last 24 or so hours.
It is indeed, and we'll be keeping you posted as we do with Last One on Spurs every step of the way. Now, look, we've been blessed to have been joined by some real top-tier journalists this month on Last One on Spurs. And as always, they don't stop coming. We've got the brilliant Sammy Mockbell, chief football reporter for the Daily Mail. Sam, thank you so much for your time, mate. We know it's a very busy evening for you. How are you, my friend? First, are you well?
Very good. It's a pleasure. Pleasure being on again. Always look forward to this. It's a great show. So thank you for having me on, guys.
Oh, mate, honestly, pleasure is all ours. I mean, look, it's fair to say, Sam, we went to bed last night. And I must just put a quick check on the date on this. So we're recording this deadline day eve, Monday the 30th of January, just so we've got the date out there. So when everyone's listening back to this on audio, they can be clear when we're recording this and the date of it. So last night we went to bed and it seemed very, very confident that Pedro Porro would be a Spurs player. We wake up Monday morning and absolute chaos on social media. And I think as Spurs fans, we couldn't believe what we were seeing and what was being written, but I think we probably could because it is Tottenham Hotspur. So there's only one place to start on this show. And Matt, I'll let you steer it. Over to you, Matty.
No prizes for guessing what I'm about to ask. But Sammy, look, we've been hearing over the last couple of days that Pedro Porro was getting closer and closer to a move to Spurs, one that the club have been trying to get done for the majority of this window. But we woke up to that dreadful news this morning that deal could potentially be off, with some reports saying that Sporting have moved the goalposts late in the negotiations after a verbal agreement had been made. And it's now looking increasingly unlikely that Pedro Porro will make that move to Spurs. There's been, I think, a lot of doubt over this one from the beginning, with the release clause that was there for the player, but the buyback clause for Manchester City, and just a lot of confusion all around on this one, including whether or not there was a medical schedule today. Can you give us the latest on the player's future?
So, look, if you start from the beginning, I think it's a deal that we all know that Tottenham were trying to get done. It was one of their priorities. It was one of Antonio Conte's priorities for the January window, a right-sided player. Who can play at right wing? Obviously, you can play at right wing back. They've bided their time. They've taken their time to try and get that deal done. We're now nearly 24 hours away from the window closing, and that deal, from what I was told this morning, is given what's happened over the past few hours, is no closer to being completed than it was last week, which is worrying. Which is really, really worrying. But listen, there's time for that. Obviously, there's time for that to change. And you know, transfers by nature are a kind of dynamic beast where all it takes is one domino to fall into place and the rest of them follow. But it's not looking good. And it begs the question as to why the club have allowed this situation to drag on into the final hours of the window. A lot's been made about the release clause. I think is it 45 million euros? The numbers escape right now.
Yep.
But my understanding is that there might have been a set limit, a time limit on that release clause, which has expired, which effectively means the club are now negotiating as normal without the release clause. So that makes things a whole lot harder for the buying club to secure a deal, because obviously there's no contractual obligation for the selling club to sell at a set price. It then becomes a negotiation, whereas where there is a release clause, you have the option of paying the money, sticking the money down, and the selling club's contractually obliged to let him go. That's off the table from what I understand. And Tottenham thought they had a deal in place on Sunday night. For whatever reason, Sporting have tweaked that. There's various reports out there today about, you know, what they've tweaked and how much more money they want and is it administration fees. I kind of, in many ways, I think all that is regard. You know, it doesn't really matter. I think what does matter is, particularly in terms of the football side of things, is Antonio Conte wanted this player, made it very crystal clear from the start of the window. And now, with one day to go, they haven't got him over the line. Now, we know how combustible Antonio Conte can be publicly. We're talking about Tottenham's recruitment. Now, you just wonder how he might react to this if they cannot resurrect this deal before tomorrow night.
I think that's the biggest fear that Tottenham fans have, is how Conte might react to not getting someone who, like we mentioned, is the key target in this one. But sadly, in Tottenham's efforts to get this one over the line, there have been some reports that Daniel Levy, the big man himself, has flown out and is taking control of these negotiations. Do you know if there's any truth to that?
Yeah, I was informed of that information earlier today. I thought it was the first time that they've been involved in this transfer, but from my understanding, I was told that they have, Levy and Paratici have had prior dialogue with Sporting, direct contact with Sporting this month. So it wasn't this wasn't the first time that they've been involved, but obviously they've intervened, or Levy's intervened today to try and get this deal, knowing the importance of it, to try and get it over the line. Whether that's enough to force Sporting's hand kind of remains to be seen, but I don't see, unless Tottenham stump up whatever Sporting are wanting from them, then I just don't see how this deal can really get over the line.
We've seen reports, Sam, that the actual player himself, Porro's been authorised to miss training today with a view to maybe completing that move to Tottenham. I mean, given the time frame that we're up against now as we enter the final 24 hours of the transfer window, in your opinion, is there still enough time, given where we're at right now, to still get this deal done?
Yeah, still enough time. Listen, Tottenham, in terms of medicals, etc., Porro could do his medical there. Who knows? There might be an agreement tonight and Porro can jump on the plane first thing tomorrow morning and be in London in 4 hours or whatever it is. So it's still loads of time to get the deal done, to sort of dot the I's and cross the T's. But it's the negotiation that's going to take the time, whether they can make a breakthrough. I think the player wants it. Obviously, Tottenham want it. But Sporting have obviously got quite a lot of leverage there. And I think they've recognised that, haven't they? So they're trying to sort of eke out as much as they can from the deal. And, a lot of people will criticise Sporting for appearing to renege on an agreement that they appear to have had with Tottenham. And if they have reneged on that, that does leave a bit of a sour taste in mouths. But it's their prerogative. He's their player, and it's up to them how they want to proceed. And it just sort of comes back to my original point that maybe Tottenham should have got this deal done much earlier to avoid all of this. And because I was always led to believe, and this was a couple of weeks ago, that they were always willing, they've always been willing to pay the asking price, pay the release clause. So, but if you were willing to do that, why didn't you just do that in the first place? And I get it, and I get it to an extent about negotiation. And Daniel Levy, as we all know, is one of the most fiercest negotiators there is. He's one of the best in the business. Shown that time and time again with some of the transfer deals that he's completed and managed to get over the line. But when your team is in such a desperate need of someone on that right side, I think, you don't have to be an expert in football to realise that there is a gaping hole there. The number of players that Conte's tried down the right side, and there's no consistency down there. It is a glaring area that needs strengthening. So it begs the question, how many games have you had in January? You could have got this guy over the line.
This is the frustration. This is my frustration, Sam. The fact that we're in a situation where, we're at the 30th of January now. Spurs have arguably played their two biggest games of the month in City and Arsenal, and have allowed those games to go by, lost 6 points, and even to some degree now, we're going into deadline day for a player. I mean, it's just beggar's belief. And we joked off it, we've been here several times with Tottenham. We are there again. It is incredibly frustrating that we don't seem to be learning from the errors that have seen Spurs fail on so many occasions. And I just think it's for me, embarrassing how this is being played out so publicly as well. You know, this is the biggest thing for me, how public this is becoming, that everybody knows the steps that are taken at the moment with regards to the deal. I mean, look, everyone's reporting. We can't say everybody is clearly in the know of what is going on, but I mean, credible reporters like yourself, I mean, for it to be at this situation now is just baffling. I know, let's let Matt come back. I know he had a question to ask you just in relation to this as well.
Yeah, aside from the obvious stumbling blocks in front of Tottenham in the negotiation room, some Spurs fans have been a bit worried by the story today that João Cancelo is leaving Manchester City, gone off on loan to Bayern Munich for the rest of the season. Do you know, is there any chance of Manchester City coming in and triggering that buyback clause that they have for the player? I know Cancelo primarily playing on the left-hand side for them this season, but losing a fullback, could they be in a market for another one?
You couldn't rule it out, and you know I think is it Rico Lewis who is at Manchester City, who done a listen, this guy is gonna be an England international sooner rather than later. So you know, Pep Guardiola might look at it and say, look, we've got one that's come through who we weren't expecting. We don't need cover, you know, we can go with what we've got. But that's got to be a concern at Tottenham, hasn't it? Just over the next few hours, whether Man City will just sort of consider it. I think it's probably unlikely. Famous last words there, but you know, I don't have any intel on it. But I would say it's unlikely. But I'm sure it's something that's crossed Tottenham's minds over the past few hours for sure.
Finally, on it, Sam. I don't want to take too much of your time on it. I know we've only done 15 minutes on this. We've got lots still to ask you. Do you have a? I mean, again, I know it's about sources more than having a feeling, but gut feeling from you know, covering Spurs you've done down the years. Do you anticipate it'll get done, or do you think it's just simply too close to call?
I think it's too close. I think it's too close to call. The player wants the deal, wants to come. So we're led to believe. So if he agitates enough and he pushes enough, then perhaps Sporting will relent, because you know, I know they own the player and the player's got a contract, but we all know unhappy players at football clubs aren't great for moving forward and getting the best performances out of them. So they may look at it and say, look, we've got an unhappy player here, let's just do a deal and get, you know, and let him go. But whether they do that or not, I truly believe it's touch and go. I think if there was going to be a breakthrough, it's got to be tonight, really, because, there is time tomorrow, but the longer it drags on, the more you'd think that surely Tottenham will look elsewhere for. But the problem is, I just don't know where they look, because
There's no replacements that you know of, Sam. No other replacements.
No, not that I've heard of. And I'm trying to rack my brains just trying to think of anyone who I think might be available. But they've put all their eggs in this basket. Everyone knows it. Sporting obviously know it. So try and get the deal done, and don't leave the deal till the last couple of days.
I suppose the issue you have got, Sam, before we do move on, is that on the deadline day, if you are looking for a replacement, and everybody knows you're looking for a replacement, that cost goes up by a premium. So at the top of my head, the only players I can think of, and again, they might not suit what Conte wants, someone like Tarek Lamptey, who has been linked, of course, with Sporting as a direct replacement for Pedro Porro. You know, these players probably do not want to... I say these players, these clubs probably don't want to do business on deadline day and leave themselves short and then try and find a replacement.
I mean, exactly. And it's all perpetual, isn't it? It's all kind of a vicious circle. It's, you know, if a club is going to let a player go, then they're going to need a replacement in. So it's a tough one, really. But we knew Antonio Conte went into the January window saying, I need a right back, but it appears to be dragging.
Yeah. We have just had some breaking news from Fabrizio Romano, who is indicating that from his perspective, he feels that deal is getting sorted and Spurs expect the deal to be done tomorrow. So we shall wait and see. Typical Tottenham. It's, like I say, hopeful. We'll keep our fingers crossed. You never know. One man you did mention, Sam, that probably will be pivotal to his mood changing, whether or not this deal does get done, is Antonio Conte. Now, fair to say, the Sunday before last, shockwaves were sent across social media, where close confidant of his, Damasio, stated with quite certainty that Conte will be leaving Tottenham. It turns out that was an amendment later on, 4 or 5 hours later, where apparently there might have been a loss of translation in terms of that coming out. And it was then almost put to us that Conte's situation at Spurs is on standby in relation to his contract. I can see you've got a smile there, Sam. So, I mean, I'm just going to come out with it and ask you.
Yeah.
Do you think Antonio Conte will be in charge at Tottenham beyond the end of this season?
If I was a betting man at the moment, no. You know, these situations can change and they often change. But I think the Italian journalists who put that information out there appears to have, and I think it's pretty common knowledge that would have a relationship with the manager or people very close to Antonio Conte. So I don't think that information they put out there, even if it was amended, would have been inaccurate. I'd imagine that would have been excuse me guys, would have been as close to the bone as you could possibly get. But I don't think what he said would have surprised anyone connected with Tottenham. I think we can see in what direction this is going in. You don't need to have your sources. I think the educated eye, just reading his body language, you can tell that he isn't happy. And from what he says in his press conferences and in public, his demeanour. Although I must say, over the past 2 or 3 weeks, I've noticed a bit of a change in him post-match in games. He's been, even after the loss to Man City and the loss to Arsenal, actually, you expected him to maybe come out all guns blazing against his side, but he hasn't been. He hasn't criticised them. And I just wonder if there's been a bit of a sea change there. Even though I still think he's going to go, I wonder if he says, like, well, look, let's just try and bring some positivity back into the team. Because let's face it, I think since we all returned from the World Cup, negativity has basically entrenched the club. It's engulfed the club. You know, the performances haven't been good enough. The results haven't been good enough. Yes, there's been a little upsurge over the past couple of weeks. But generally speaking, the season has kind of flitted away. So I think Conte needed to do something. And I've just noticed a little change in his sort of public persona, particularly in terms of when he talks about his team.
Just on Conte finally, before Matt comes in there, Sammy, last one for me is, do you think at some point goalposts have changed at all with Conte and the board at Tottenham? I mean, the thing is, when he came in, he must have been on the understanding in terms of what he was going to get in terms of a budget and then how that was going to work in terms of the project itself. And it feels that Tottenham have gone after now, and you've been in on last one Spurs a few times now, these win now managers in terms of Conte and Mourinho, and they haven't necessarily given them the exact tools in order to do the job. So I just wonder, with the uncertainty around Conte and the contract, I don't know how we've allowed ourselves to get into this situation where it's almost his future being uncertain as we enter a January window, and you're trying to convince players to sign for the club that ultimately in 6 months' time don't know who the manager's going to be. So has anything from your perspective changed or goalposts been moved since Conte's been at the club until now?
I think we have to remember when Conte came in, the start under Nuno was very, very difficult, right? But you still had something to go for in terms of a top four place. So I think the club needed a manager who would help the team instantly get results, because they to climb the table into those top floor places. So I can see the attraction to Conte if you are Daniel Levy, but let's not forget that everyone to a man, when Conte was appointed new Tottenham manager in sort of last November or November 2021, we all saw what was going to happen, didn't we? We all knew how it was going to finish. We all knew that Conte would get frustrated at the club's recruitment, because he has done that. He has got frustrated at clubs where he's had far more control over the recruitment than he will do at Tottenham. So you knew it was going to end like this. We knew they were going to have these moments of turbulence between the board and the manager. Yet for so long last season, it looked like a match made in heaven, didn't it? Because, you know, you got to the top four, and even the start of this season wasn't too bad. It was really promising, but some things happened and I don't want to say the wheels have come off, because, you know, they haven't, and you could still have a fantastic season for sure, but something isn't quite clicking, something isn't quite right, and what that means for Conte's future will obviously come out in the wash. But I think the direction he's going at the moment is likely to see him leave at the end of the season.
Well, Conte's future is just one of a number of grey clouds hovering over the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in the last month or so. And another one is in relation to his compatriot, Fabio Paratici. His future has been cast into doubt over the recent ban he's been given from Italian football. And just recap for any viewers or listeners who may not be up to date in the story, Juventus and a number of other Italian clubs were investigated by the Serie A into a number of alleged financial irregularities. And as a result, Juventus and a number of their directors were given significant bans, Paratici the most significant, with a 30-month ban from all Italian football dealings. And they have requested to FIFA and UEFA that be extended across Europe and the world, which, of course, if that was done, would make it impossible for him to do his job at Spurs. The latest reports that we're getting on this, I mean, it does seem to have gone quiet in the last week or so, is that FIFA and UEFA are probably leaning towards extending that ban to England. Can you give us any update on the story and your understanding of what this could actually mean for his future at the club?
I think it's that's where the problem is. I think that's where, just as we speak, actually, by the way, we've just had confirmation from Tottenham that Brian Gill has gone to Sevilla on loan. So,
okay.
But yeah, so back to your original question. The key to that whole episode will be whether FIFA decide to extend that ban to English football. If that is extended, and there is the expectancy that they will side with that FIFA will side with the Italian FA. If it is extended, then yeah, you know, it raises big questions over his role at the club moving forward. At the moment, it's kind of business as usual, but with this dark cloud sort of hovering over the very top of the club. He was, I think, against Fulham, he was sat front row at Craven Cottage, next to Donna Cullen, so he's still very visible, so he's still a presence at the club, and he's still dealing with these transfers. As I said to you earlier, I understand that he was involved in trying to resurrect this Porro deal today, so he's still involved. But while this continues to sort of hover over him, and then you know, while we wait on a decision from FIFA, it will just be a massive elephant in the room, basically.
Sam, thanks so much for bringing us up to date on that. We'll move over to Dan Juma, a player that we discussed that essentially a couple of weeks ago he was being, he got brought over by his agent. He was being offered around to clubs in the most politest way I can put that. And it seemed that Everton were the only takers at the time, up until the point in which Spurs decided to hijack the deal. And we understand that Dan Juma had already done a lot of the medical for the club, and did a lot of already the media side of things for Everton. I'm just really keen to know from you, Sam, if I can, that, you know, given the nature of how that move came about and the last minute madness of it all, how far up on the list was Dan Juma for Tottenham, in your opinion? And from what you understand, was he a Conte or a club signing, given the nature of how that deal's come about?
I think obviously Conte would have been consulted, but my understanding was that was an opportunity that arose rather than that being viewed as a long-term recruitment target or part of the club's long-term recruitment strategy. It was an opportunity that arose, and they decided to take it. And, you know, he scores on his debut, so, you know, it kind of swings around about us. It's not all bad. But it's one that came out of the blue for everyone. Yes, he, you know, someone said to me, you know, he's doing a grand tour of the Premier League, and he's ended up at Tottenham, and you know, fair play to him. But equally, I understand why Everton at the time were upset with maybe the way he went about it, because he was there, I'm told, on ready to train with his new teammates. He'd done all his in-house media unveiling duties. You know, he'd agreed on his contract, he'd agreed to sign, he just hadn't signed the paperwork yet, and then Tottenham hijacked the deal, and it was an opportunity that arose, and they took up, and you know, and there he is. But I don't think it was really a long term. He hasn't been a long term target with the club for sure.
Okay, well, listen, Sam, thank you so much so far. What we are going to do is we're going to go for a very quick break on this last one on Spurs.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Phoenix 51 is a powerful employee technology enabling organizations to make data-driven decisions at every stage of the employee journey, from hiring through benchmarking and development too. The platform provides detailed analytics on the most important asset in your business, your people, enabling organizations not only to make the correct hiring decisions, but also how to benchmark, train, and retain them. Phoenix 51. Powering your people decisions through every part of the employee journey.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Hi everyone, Crackers here with your events update for 2023. Friday the 24th of February, Gary Mabber at the Rodrons Club in Chessington. Friday the 3rd of March, Harry Redknapp at Camberley Heath Golf Club. Go to echo61.co.uk for further details. Friday the 10th of March, Steve Sedgley, Tony Galvin, Phil Bill are at Dartford FC for South East Thames Spurs Supporters Club. Friday the 17th of March, Glenn Hoddle is at Bedwas Rugby Club, that's for South Wales Spurs. Emerald Spurs events on Facebook have on Friday the 24th of March, Michael Dawson at Roe Park Resort Limavady, and then on Saturday the 25th of March, Gary Mabber at the Bonington Hotel in Dublin. Worcester Spurs, the official supporters club there, Friday the 28th of April. Glenn Hoddle is at Worcestershire County Cricket Club. If you go to at Mr. Cracknell across the socials, please take a look on there for posters of these events and further ticket details. Come on, you Spurs.
We are receiving, as Matt also drops into me, reports that Spurs, from different sources, have agreed a deal to sign Pedro Porro. We can get a little bit excited, I'm sure. Listen, if Sammy hears anything in this next half an hour or so, he'll bring it to us from his end. I can see him refreshing there, checking for us in the background. But look, hopefully there is some positive news. This is the beauty of doing, like I say, a last word on Spurs show live, that quite frankly, anything can happen. And I think, look, for what we've been through so far this month, why can't we be excited? Why can't we be happy? You know, Sam said, actually, there should be a lot still to look forward to for Tottenham. They are in, of course, the FA Cup. They've got a, you'd argue, like I say, I don't want to use a favourable draw, but they've got Wrexham or Sheffield United away. I'll let you be the judge of that, bearing in mind as Spurs have slipped up in previous years in FA Cup games. Champions League to come, of course, AC Milan head-to-head with that. And also Spurs still in the race for the top four. So hopefully, like I say, we're going to have a positive second half to the show. And it means I can steer over to Matty Hayes to continue that for us. Matty, over to you.
Yeah, well, we've discussed already two players signed in positions that we understand were a priority for Tottenham in this window, in a right wing back, which again, hopefully will get across the line, and an attacker, which as we mentioned there, turned out to be Arnaut Danjuma. We've seen reports that if an opportunity is to arise in this window for Tottenham to bring their summer transfer plans forward a little bit, that that is an opportunity that may be taken. Now, with the obvious complications in the Pedro Porro deal, maybe that's been put on the back burner a little bit. But do you, Sammy, think that Tottenham might turn their attention elsewhere if that Porro deal does get over the line before the window slams shut?
It's going to be tough to get your long term targets, and you know, like, those deals invariably take a long time to get over. As just Pedro Porro deal, you know, sort of illustrated. So I think bringing forward your long term targets and to try and get one of those deals done in one day is a tough ask. But there, you know, there might be opportunities out there that Daniel Levy or Fabio Paratici looks at and say, yeah, if we can get that deal done today, let's do it. I know that we know that Antonio Conte would love a centre back, a commanding centre back. I'm not sure he's going to be able to get the one that he wants over the line tomorrow, but that might be an area they may look to strengthen if there is a player that comes up that they quite like. But yeah, other than that, I think getting this Pedro Porro deal done, as you say, it's floating around now, that there is now some positivity with regards to that, which is great news for Tottenham. If they can get that deal done, that will be a big step forward for them, and along with Danjuma, it would have been a decent window for Tottenham for sure. I know it's taken a long time, yeah. It still begs the question: why wasn't this deal done at the start of the window? But if you get it done, at least they've got it. You know, at least they've got the deal and they've got the player over the line.
Yeah, I think I say that is it, Sam. In a nutshell, as you said, spot on. The timing of it is I think the one of the frustrations. And I will say this again. Look, of course, I'm excited that hopefully Pedro Porro is away, but I don't want that to overcloud the fact that, you know, I still think Tottenham, arguably, we are still players short. You know, I still think, as you said there, Sam, Spurs still need a centre back. Arguably, the goalkeeping situation still needs to be addressed, and we know we've got Destiny Dodgy to come in the summer. But my frustration, I've said it before on the last one on Spurs, is that I just feel we're always operating a window or two behind. You know, I feel like the succession plan seems to always be 18 months behind. And look, whilst we should be very excited, Pedro Porro hopefully coming to the club will be brilliant for that right-hand side. When you think, of course, we've got Bentancur alongside there, Romero as well. But I just think, don't let that detract away from you, that there still needs to be a lot of work to be done, I think, to get Spurs up to a level where Conte is happy. And I think that's the key. I think if you want to keep Conte happy, then you have to give him what he wants. And look, that's only a decision where some may want to give Conte what he wants, some don't want to give Conte what he wants. So look, I'll let you guys be the judge of that. One man I want to ask you about, Sam, I'm conscious of time. Nicolò Zaniolo was linked to Spurs earlier in the window. By the fact they've now got Danjuma in, was that almost seen as like an alternative to Zaniolo? And once they realised they couldn't get him, they moved for Danjuma?
Yeah, I do think Nicolò Zaniolo was one of the club's primary targets at one stage. I think they liked him and they saw the value in him as one of their main targets. But I think that deal is out of reach now. And it's interesting with Zaniolo that I think he's been offered around elsewhere now. I know Bournemouth were trying to get him last week, and you know, with all due respect to Bournemouth, I think if you Tottenham and Tottenham and Bournemouth are sort of two completely clubs on two completely different levels. So, I was surprised then when Bournemouth were kind of in the mix. I thought that was a clear sign that there was a deal to be done there for Zaniolo. And the fact that Tottenham didn't appear to be in the mix last week suggested to me that maybe they've cooled their interest now. So whether they revisit that in the summer, I'm not sure. I think they may move on from that and look at other areas. But I agree with you in terms of goalkeeper. I think that's obviously an area that will need strengthening. I think the key with it is, and you know, you might completely disagree, but I think you treat players like Hugo Lloris with a level of respect and a level of kind of, you know, dignity. You got to maintain the guy's dignity. You can't just, you know, drop him and stick him on the bench for the rest of the season. You've got to, you know, he's the club captain. You can't do that. So I think, you know, you're going to have to persist with him for now and hope that his form improves. And then at the end of the season, if there is a way to maybe usher him into the, you know, into the sunset, maybe a return to France, maybe somewhere, or if he can get a move, maybe, I don't know, MLS or wherever, and he can go with everyone's blessing and everyone's, you know, if everyone's on board with it, I think this summer is a perfect opportunity to get a new goalkeeper on board, one who is comfortable with the ball at his feet, one who can make quick decisions with the ball at his feet. They're the two traits that I've been told that they're looking for in their new goalkeeper. Not just one who is comfortable in possession, because I think most modern day goalkeepers nowadays are comfortable in possession, but it's one that you can actually make a quick decision and make the right decision. I think that's the key. I think that's the key to it. And they're looking at a number of, I think they're looking at a number of goalkeepers ahead of next season for sure.
It's that one is such a difficult one for Spurs fans. And I'll be honest, I've been guilty of calling for Lloris to be dropped for a game or two with some of the errors he's had so far this season. But he's a club legend. You know, we've been so lucky to have him for the last decade, and I think we'd be very lucky if our next goalkeeper stays at the club for that long. You know, it's obviously going to be a very difficult one to replace. It's not as simple as getting another keeper who can have that longevity, but it's definitely a difficult one to see where that's going to go. But onto centre backs, Sammy. Conte at the beginning of the window seemingly ruled out a move for a centre back, but when you're looking at, you know, Eric Dier being out of form, Davinson Sanchez really struggling to get into the team. He's had some quotes lately about, you know, maybe a bit of uncertainty around his future. Clement Longley, no option to buy in that loan. It's a position that every Tottenham fan will agree needs to be strengthened. And all the names we're hearing, the Alessandro Bastonis, Yasko Vardial, Pau Torres, with every kind of window that goes on, those are looking less and less likely. The one now that's kind of on the lips of Tottenham fans is Piero Hinchapi from playing in Germany at the moment. Is there any update on that, or is that one that we'll just be looking to get done in the summer?
Yeah, I asked. I actually asked someone who'd be very well placed to answer that yesterday about Piero Hinchapi. I think is it Leverkusen? I think by Leverkusen.
Yep, that's correct. Yep.
And I got negative, very negative vibes about it. Certainly in this window, for sure. To the point where if they were interested in Hinchapi, they aren't anymore. So I can't see that deal at all getting done tomorrow. They may look at it again in the summer. But yeah, I was told categorically on Sunday that deal wouldn't be happening.
Now, one thing I think Matt, we're going to carry on with you. Apologies, I think I've interrupted the script there, Matt. I'll let you carry on. I think we're going to next talk about potentially a player that we have signed from Chelsea. Which I can't believe I'm actually saying that Spurs doing any business with Chelsea. So I'll let Matty pass that over to you. And Matt, I'll let you carry on, bud. Sorry about that.
Yeah, there's a signing that Tottenham are looking to get done there, like Ricky said, from Chelsea, which is something that we haven't said very often in the recent past, but, you know, maybe a bit of an improved relationship there between the two clubs, with Beth England, of course, making a record transfer over to Tottenham women's team as well. But this player is Jude Sunsup-Bell, a 19-year-old striker from Chelsea, held in very, very high regard. Some reported interest from Manchester City as well on that one. Can you tell us anything about this one, Sam?
very, very highly rated, very highly rated young player, and I think Tottenham have done well to get anywhere near to signing. And as you say, I think it's illustrative maybe of Chelsea, the new regime at Chelsea. I don't, you know, under Roman Abramovich, I don't think we could ever foresee a time where you know, mental Chelsea was selling one of their youngest, like one of their brightest young talents to sort of the rivals down the road. I just don't think it would happen. But now under the new regime, I think those guys are more open to that happening. Listen, today, you know, unrelated to Tottenham, but I've been reporting on Arsenal's interest in Jorginho at Chelsea, and Chelsea, from what I understand, are open to selling him to Arsenal. Where again, you know, there's not been many occasions in the Roman Abramovich era where Chelsea have been willing to sell their, you know, their rivals, you know, some of their best players. So it's a great deal for Tottenham for sure, because he's got bags of potential, and if he can, you know, if he can fulfil that, there they've got some great coaches in the academy. Just it depends on I guess how much senior opportunities he gets, but they're getting a really good player for sure.
What we're going to do, Sam, for your own benefit, we're going to do a quick fire round, if we can, in relation to outgoings. We know, Sam, can I just say, this man has got a very busy morning tomorrow, or busy day, should I say. He's got about a 12-hour shift he's got to put in on deadline day. So for his own sanity, we're going to wrap through the outgoings for him as things stand at the moment. So, right, well, let's rack them through. We've got Jed Spence, who it looks like has now agreed a move with Rennes, where he's going to link up with Spurs teammate, you'd say, although I don't think actually two of them ever met, maybe, which is Joe Roden. So they're going to be there. We've got Brian Hill, as you said, and broke it on the news here for Sam. He's now a Seville player to the end of the season. I'll let Matt ask you about another couple, but just on those two, firstly, Jed Spence, I just wonder, with that move definitely being a no option to buy there, whether maybe, and as we understand, he's looking to succeed at Tottenham long term, if he thinks, you know, maybe under a different manager come next season, what's going to happen? And the same for Brian Hill, you know, a player that I was quite surprised, Sam, there's not even an English loan for him, a player that you'd feel that really needs an English loan rather than a Spanish loan. So out of interest, those two players, was there interest from other English clubs over a loan for those two?
That, certainly for Jed Spence, there was a lot of interest for Jed Spence. It just, you know, I think Palace were in the mix, Leicester were in the mix, Wolves, Brentford. But I think maybe getting away from England, getting away from the Premier League is would be a good one. It'd be a good move for him. Get away from the spotlight. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the lack of action that he's had at Tottenham. I think to get away, to play regular football, would be good for him. And good luck to Jed Spence. But I think he's a very good player, really talented player. You know, ripped up the Championship last year. Hasn't had the opportunities this year, but you know, hopefully he can do well there. And I think there is definitely a Premier League player in there somewhere for sure.
With those two low moves confirmed, looking likely to be done, and to two other players that I think there has been some rumours about them potentially heading out on loan in this window. One is Pape Matar-Sarr, who, after starting the North London Derby in the Premier League, obviously then didn't even make it into the squad for that game against Preston, which I think really tells us where his future might be heading. Do you know if there's any chance of Sarr heading out on loan, and Jaffa Tanganga as well, who is, like I mentioned earlier, struggling to get into the Spurs team?
Yeah, I think with Jaffa Tanganga, I think Antonio Conte quite likes him. I think he likes his determination, but I think you probably need a bit more than that to play regularly for in any Antonio Conte side. But yeah, I wonder if they just try to keep hold of Jaffa Tanganga in the summer just for options. Particularly given they, you know, that their problems are at centre back, and you know they're chopping and changing. They don't really know. Well, they're looking for, you know, their sort of strongest combination in there. I wonder if he hangs about, and you know, Pepe Matisai has actually played a few games since the turn of the World Cup. So, I'd be I know. I could see the benefit in him going out on loan and playing regular games. But, you know, if he's an option for Antonio Conte between now and the end of the season, so, and I think they would, you know, they would probably rather him stay here and then maybe, you know, consider a loan or another deal for him at the end of the season.
Onto two players that could be on their way out permanently. Lucas Moura, we know his contract expires at the end of the season and he will be on his way out at the summer at the very latest. Some talk that he may be potentially looking for a move this January. And also Davinson Sanchez, who, again, despite captaining the side against Preston, did say some things about where his future might lie.
Yeah, and with Lucas Moura, I know there has been some interest, certainly from abroad, from back in South America this month. For Lucas Moura, but my understanding what was at the time, and this is maybe about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago now, that he would prefer to stay at Tottenham until the end of the season and go on a free, where he'll have, or you'd expect him to have more options. So I think, unless there's a shock deal, some sort of shock move tomorrow, I think he will remain a squad player. And then, sorry, who is the other one, Matt?
Sorry, I was just on mute there. Sanchez and Lucas were the two there.
Okay, yeah. And then in terms of Sanchez, again, options at centre back aren't great. And I kind of attributed those quotes, and I must confess I haven't read them in full, but I read sort of skimmed it, and I kind of thought maybe he was looking at the summer in terms of trying to get out. So I just can't foresee at the moment Antonio Conte letting Sanchez go this month.
Let's ask you very quickly, if we can, Sam, Harry Kane, this relation of a new contract that we're obviously hearing, it seems that there's positive talks that have been held with Harry's camp that he might sign a new contract with the club. It feels weird we're hearing this, obviously, when it felt like at one point that him and Conte's future were entwined. As you understand it, Sam, are we in a positive direction towards Harry Kane's future, regardless of who the manager is?
I wouldn't say it's positive. I think it's open. I think it's open to I think he's open to every scenario. I think in the right circumstances, Harry Kane would be open to signing a new contract at Tottenham. Of course, he loves the club, and you know, it was stressed to me again last week that his priority, his number one, has always been to be successful at Tottenham. That's what he craves the most. But it is up to Harry Kane to decide whether he believes he can be successful at Tottenham. And when we say successful, we're talking about challenging for the Premier League, challenging for the Champions League. That's what he wants, and I think that's what he deserves, because he's, you know, a truly world class player. So if he sees that at Tottenham and he's convinced that is possible, then I wouldn't at all sort of cast aside that he would sign a new contract at Tottenham. I think that is a very big possibility. But then equally, you know, if the season peters out and there isn't much optimism going into the next season, there will be a lot of clubs who at the drop of the hat will bid for him because of the player he is. It'll be top clubs as well. Mm-hmm. If they're giving any encouragement that he would consider a move away, I think there will be a number of top clubs who will at the very least consider it, because goal scorers are hard to come by, particularly the ones that are as prolific as Harry Kane.
Yeah.
So if any of those top clubs, and I'm talking, you know, they're out there, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Manchester United, you know, who are desperate for a striker this summer, if they get any encouragement that he would be open to moving to them, then I'm sure those clubs will be in the mix for sure.
Okay, before we let you go, Sam, we have had some news come in. Matt is going to ask you a final question. I promise you, we're going to let you be on your way. This is breaking news actually from the Mail in the last few minutes, that apparently there might be a potential loan option off on the last day for Oliver Skipp. This is what I mean. Deadline day eve. And as you said to us off here, Sam, you find a lot of the work is being done on deadline day eve, sometimes rather than deadline day. I don't know if that's come something you've been made aware of, Sam, at all in the last 24, 48 hours with regards to Oliver Skipp? Would you be surprised at all, given Spurs' midfield options, if Spurs were to sanction a loan for Skipp?
Yeah, I think obviously last season he was an important player for Tottenham before the injury, right? So there'd be there'd be a level of surprise for sure, but you know I've not seen those. I can't say I've seen the reports. So it's nothing that's come by my computer today, so I haven't seen them. But yeah, I would be surprised if Tottenham were to let him go. But equally, I can see why clubs would be interested in taking him on loan, because he's not playing loads. Doesn't look like he's going to have much opportunity or as much opportunity as he would like. So I'm sure clubs will look at that tomorrow for sure and see if they can maybe get a loan deal over the line.
I'm going to hand you over to Matt to ask you the final question. And just for our viewers and listeners, I know we've got 1,000 of you watching us live. We are going to give you a quick 15-minute debrief afterwards and let the wonderful Sammy Mockbell depart for his own sake of what's a busy day tomorrow. Matty, over to you. Let's get this final question out to Sam.
I think saying Sam is going to have a busy day tomorrow suggests that there might be sleep tonight, which with the way things are going,
well, hopefully
it might not go that way. But look, Sammy, news like this one that we're getting with Oliver Skipp now just goes to show how unpredictable deadline day is. So I'm going to ask you to predict deadline day. How many players do you think Tottenham will have gotten over the line by the time 11:01 PM strikes tomorrow?
I think it will be if they can get Pedro Porro deal done. I think that will be it. I think that once, if they can get that deal over the line, they will be happy, and they would have had a decent window, and then keep their powder dry until the summer window.
Sam, been an absolute pleasure. Just finally, where can everybody see the wonderful work you do? Please tell us, enlighten us where.
So it's Mail Online. I think everyone knows where to find the Mail Online. So I won't bore you with the website address. But I'm on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @SammyMockbell81_DM.
So, and as Sammy says that, for YouTube watchers right now, it just goes under Sammy's chin there, SammyMockbell81_DM. Make sure you give Sam a follow and keep on track with everything in this window. Sam, I always say it, mate, thank you so much for your time, especially on a deadline day. You've come in on Last One on Spurs. Been a real pleasure. We look forward, mate, to catching up with you again in the summer for more madness.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sam. Well, there you go, guys. The wonderful Sammy Mockbell there. Look, now, normally me and Matty don't normally do this, but we've got to stay on for a few minutes and just dissect, if we can, what is happening with regards to Tottenham right now as we enter the final 24 hours of a transfer window, which has seen Spurs arguably closing. I don't want to say that word complete, Matty, because we was here 24 hours ago saying it was going to be completed. But it looks like it's definitely now in the realms of being finally confirmed that Pedro Porro is a Spurs player. And Matt, give us your reaction personally to what that would mean for Tottenham, how much that would enhance the squad when we approach deadline day to get this deal done.
Yeah, look, before I get into that, perfect timing, Fabrizio Romano just tweeted out again, Tottenham have rescheduled medical tests for Pedro Porro. It was planned on Monday, but will actually happen on Tuesday. It's all done and sealed between Spurs and Sporting. As revealed, €45 million. Here we go, confirmed.
Can I just say that? I got panicked when you said rescheduled. I thought, not another meeting, surely.
Oh, God. I saw Tottenham tears on Twitter. They said that they the word meeting muted on Twitter just to actually get through this one. But look, it looks like it's getting over the line, and it is a massive deal for Spurs. And you know, I put it out a while ago that it's a very important one in terms of the future of this football club, because it's, as Sammy mentioned there a couple of times, it's such a gaping hole in the squad. It's such a something that we just clearly needed to address, and it would have been absolutely detrimental to our efforts to get into that top four if we'd spent the whole window on this deal and not gotten it done. You know, I think spending the whole window on the deal and still getting it done isn't what we would have liked. We would like to get that done quicker, but the actually not getting that done would have been absolutely catastrophic. How much time would we have had to get a replacement? Who would have been available? Like you said, prices would have gone up because clubs knew we were looking for one. But Pedro Porro, he's a fantastic player. He really is. And I can't say I've watched much of the Portuguese league, but from what I have seen from there, fantastic, impressed so much against us. And his crossing is amongst the best in Europe with his cross completion rate and that sort of stuff. So Harry Kane might not need to be the provider as much. He might get into the area a little bit more and continue on what's looking like being a record breaking season for him. And I think it'll allow us to relax a little bit more. and to actually look forward maybe to watching Spurs play, because we were so heavily reliant on getting that ball out the right-hand side and trying to get the ball into the box. We've addressed the issue on the left with Perisic, who I know has been in and out of that position lately, but yeah. To have a creator out on that right-hand side. And let's not forget, he is only 23 years of age. Yeah. You know, I think we mentioned it on the show yesterday with Lyle Thomas, that you have Pedro Porro, Christian Romero, Rodrigo Bentancourt and Dejan Kulusevski down that right-hand side. Now, all of them 25 or younger. So there is really a spine of a rather fantastic team shaping up out there. And look, there have been a lot of critics of Fabio Paratici since he came into the club, but that's four players that he's identified and, albeit with a bit of help from Daniel Levy this time, gotten over the line. So it's a big move for Tottenham. I would argue one of the best, if not the best, available right back out there in this window. And let's see just how much he can impact this team.
I just wonder, Matt, you know, we look and we discuss, and we've had some real top-tier journalists join us this month. And I think the question a lot of people say is, you know, rate the window. And I've got brilliance, and I've said this off-air, I've said this on-air, I've said this during a lot of our post-match analysis shows, that my frustration is the timing of the nature of when we're getting these deals done. You know, Dan Juma left to the final week of the window, clearly not the first choice. Pedro Porro, a player that, you know, arguably Spurs, as we heard from Sammy there, they could have paid that release clause in those first opening 2 or 3 weeks and not got into the situation that we find ourselves in now. Look, of course, a lot, we've got the player, but I don't think we should deviate away from the fact that there should be an air of frustration that we're not getting these deals done earlier, especially when you look at the case. Spurs had two of their biggest games at the start of the month in City and Arsenal and failed to pick up any points at all. I suppose the question I'm going to ask you, Matt, is how would you rate the window if this is it in terms of Porro and Dan Juma? I know at this point this morning, with regards to Porro, it looked unlikely, and I think that will give everybody a bit of an uplift. But in the cold light of day, Matt, if you just, like I say, forgot what happened this morning and you analyse from last night to tonight, how would you rate this window, quite honestly?
I'm going to hijack that quickly just before I go. So another bit of detail on how Spurs might actually have got this done. Bruno Andrade saying our sell-on clause for Marcus Edwards has now reduced from 50% to 35%. So maybe that is how Tottenham got that one done. But I think the business that we've got done this window, I'd rate differently to how we've improved the squad, if that makes sense. Like, purely on the business that we have done, I'd give it, as Spurs he says in the live chat, I'd give it a 7 out of 10. Because Porro is, like I mentioned, perhaps the best available option that we could have got out there. The Dan Juma one, I think we went into a bit more detail on it last week, but it's not exactly what we would have wanted. It's probably not the caliber of player we would have hoped to get in that position. It's not the type of deal we would have hoped to get done. And obviously there's so much uncertainty and a grey cloud a little bit over that deal and the way it was done. So I'd say 7 out of 10 for the business that we actually got done. But in terms of what we need to address in the squad, for me, it would be down at a 4 or a 5, because regardless of how much we improve the right wing, regardless of the depth that we add up top, still need centre-backs. We still need minimum one, probably 2 centre-backs to come in and really solidify that back line, because it's every week, effectively, we're conceding 2 goals. And you're not going to get into the top 4. You're not going to win trophies with that sort of defensive record. So I'm happy with the players that we have got in, but I just still worry that we haven't done enough to give ourselves that platform we need to take it into that Champions League.
Yeah, like I say, any more news on Pedro Porro, we'll try and bring it to you. I'm sure Matty will be refreshing in his next couple of minutes and let you know anything new that happens with regards to that. But it looks like Porro will undergo his medical imminently in relation to tomorrow, and he will finally become a Spurs player. Right, in terms of other business with Tottenham, Matt, obviously, Jed Spence, he's going to be joining, as it looks like, Rennes on loan. As I mentioned during the show there, he's going to be hooking up with, obviously, current Spurs player, also out on loan, Joe Roden. What do you make of that loan for him, Matt? Is that a good loan, or do you think, ideally, a Premier League move would have been better, given the fact that I'm sure next season we want to see him hit the ground running and also contest for a right-back spot? Because, with no disrespect, I mean, for me, next season, what I would ideally like to see is the battle between Porro and Spence. That's what I would like to see. And it'd be good to have those two options. No disrespect to Matt Doherty or Emerson Royale. For me personally, I don't think either of them are good enough for Tottenham in the most politest way. I think Doherty has got, you know, more time in him. And I feel bad standing out with an Irish lad, Matt. I think he's got more in him, where, again, with Doherty, I think he can go and do very well for himself probably elsewhere, still in the Premier League. But I think for a club like Tottenham that do want to push on and continue to strive to be amongst the top teams in the Premier League, how do you see this move for Spence?
I was a bit surprised by it, to be honest. I think it's been well known with Fabio Paratici that he does quite often affect him at Juventus as well, where he struggles to move players on in an effective way. And I think that's just proven by the fact that me and you were here twice a week asking about Ndombele and Lo Celso, you know, 18 months after we decided they probably needed to move on. I would have preferred a move to the Premier League. People have made the point to me on Twitter that the teams in the Premier League that wanted him, perhaps they were putting in an option or an obligation to buy, which Spurs just didn't want to go with. And reportedly, Jed Spence didn't want to go with either. But I think with some of the teams that are down there, with Everton, a new manager coming in, Southampton, obviously really struggling, I think there are teams there that would have been happy to take him on a six-month loan. But then it looks like the teams that were actually really making those offers, he turned down Atletico Madrid and Sassuolo, and then ends up going to that Rennes. And look, it's a club we haven't had the best relations with in the last year after that debacle in the Conference League and getting deducted or given the defeat when we had to call that game off over our COVID cases, Rennes not really being willing to reschedule that game. And then with Joe Rodon's loan move, which hasn't really gone in the way that we planned, he's struggling for game time there. And you'd wonder what agreements had been made between Tottenham and Stade Rennes when Rodon went there. Have those been reneged on? It's for me, it's just a weird one. It's not one that I saw happening, but the be-all and end-all is that Jed Spence is a player who needs football. He needs to get on the pitch. He needs to show what he can do. And I'm delighted that his mentality is such that he wants a straight loan. He wants to get game time and he wants to come back and showcase exactly what he can do at Tottenham. He thinks he can be the man to take the team forward from that position. And that's what I love to hear.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I mean, listen, with Spence, I still think there's a massive future for him here. Again, a lot will depend on really who the manager is in the summer. One that, again, we're going to have to probably wait and see on. Matt, I just want to also get your thoughts, of course, on Brian Hill, a player that, you know, in the last month or two seemed to have got himself back into the reckoning at Tottenham with some decent performances. At one point, we even saw Conte dismiss the opportunity of a loan for him. So, I mean, I suppose, Matt, the question is maybe firstly, what's changed? What is the reason? Is it just Dan Juma? Or is it more than what meets the eye in terms of training that they feel that still with Hill, he just isn't going to cut it this particular season in the Premier League for you?
I personally don't think this decision was made on a footballing basis. There were some quotes in a Spanish outlet by Brian Hill's agent, and he essentially said, it's not professional, it is personal. If the player isn't happy in England, if he's not happy at the club, if he's homesick, like I think quite often fans can, you know, fail to remember that you know, this is a person. It's not just purely down to, you know, if he's not playing well or whatever. I was very confident that he could be an important player for us for the rest of the season. I was at that game against Sporting, the home tie, when he came off the bench and was one of the best players, really. And only had 15, 20 minutes there. He was, you know, finding space for himself, getting good balls into the box. And then he makes his first couple of Premier League starts. It was really looking positive for him. But while last season, when he got that move to Valencia, I had said I would have preferred a move to the Premier League. I think heading back to Sevilla, heading back to Spain, heading back to familiar surroundings is probably the best thing for him at the moment. And again, I'm happy with the fact that there is no buy option, that it is a straight loan, and he will be coming back to the club in the summer. Of course, that could turn into something permanent 6 months down the line, but at the moment he's coming back, and I just hope for his sake that he does get what he needs out of this loan move, and hopefully can come back and be more happy and positive for Spurs.
It's interesting, Matt. We actually heard before we actually did the show that there's apparent interest actually from Bournemouth in Brian Hill. But I think the thing with Bournemouth is they wanted an option to buy. I think that's what you'll find now. A lot of these loans that you see in the Premier League and obviously across Europe, that many clubs, if they're going to take a player on loan, they want to do it with an option there to buy. And that maybe is why we've seen quite a number of deals maybe fall through on loan, because clubs like Tottenham just simply aren't willing to allow Spence to have a buy option and have Hill have a buy option. So does that maybe give you an indication, Matt, of what the future does hold for certain players here? The fact that Spurs aren't willing to add in a buy option and maybe adds to the uncertainty whether Conte will be here, because you feel that if these players under Conte's watch were deemed not good enough, there might be a buy option there, if you see where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I think it says a lot more about Conte's future than it does about the players' futures, because you know, if Conte is to leave at the end of the season, if he's to leave during the season for whatever reason, not having a buy option in those loans doesn't mean that these players will be first team footballers. It just means that the next manager can make the decision that he wants to make. And again, it I don't think it means that Conte is definitely leaving. I just think it means that, as we're being told, nobody really knows. Conte himself doesn't really know what his future holds and where he's going to be next season. So I think it is probably sensible to just delay that decision by 6 months, but still give these players something of what they need by getting them a bit more game time this window. But it certainly doesn't, it doesn't help the fears that Antonio Conte may be on his way out of the club.
Yeah, I promise you, we're going to end it on Poro in a second, but I must just ask, Matty, there's so much excitement. Let's talk about 800, 900 of you watching us live here. All buzzing about Poro. And you know, I will say, look, enjoy it, because it's not often Spurs sign a player of this calibre that looks at the very top of his level. And I must admit, you know, I've been saying to friends, this guy looks too cool for Tottenham. I've been saying this guy looks too cool for Spurs. So for Spurs to get the deal done, however they've done it, look, the most important thing is that he is going to be a Spurs player. I'm going to end it on Poro. But before I do, Matt, I just have to ask you, based on the business that it looks like Spurs have done now, Poro, Danjuma, and arguably that is going to be it in terms of incomings. We're hoping for a surprise tomorrow. But on the basis of that, Matt, if you were told that at the start of the month, does that change your expectations of the season?
No, I wouldn't say that it does. I mentioned that I would have preferred, and I would have hoped that we would have got a left centre back option in. But I said it before the window opened. I said it the whole way throughout the window that getting the centre back that we want in a January window was always going to be incredibly difficult. I mean, we've seen how difficult it was to get this power deal over the line, and that was more of a priority in this window than a centre back. So I think the window has gone pretty much as I would have expected. A lot more twists and turns than I bargained for, but I think the overall outcome is along the lines of what I was expecting, and what I would assume a lot of Spurs fans were expecting. So what's happened on the pitch in this month has definitely changed my expectation, but in terms of transfers, it's pretty much the same for me.
And then on that basis, Matt, you still feel top four is still in reach. Of course, as we've said, favourable FA Cup draw to some degree. Look, I mean, I know, again, we've seen 11 teams knocked out in terms of the Premier League, but, you know, Spurs, if they can get past either Sheffield United or Wrexham, sets them up for, a real opportunity to finally end this big, big trophy drought. And, of course, double-headed to come at the Champions League. You didn't hesitate last night in saying just how poor AC Milan's form is. It's not going to be your fault if the Mockers go on that for the wrong reason. But there's a real opportunity, Matt, isn't there? You know, if Spurs can bed in these couple of players and try and get some rhythm now under Conte, we can still have a really positive start to this second part of the season.
Yeah, look, the mood around this club has been awful for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, and for very good reason, in my opinion. There's been a lot to be angry about and very little that we've enjoyed. But the simple fact of the matter is, taking a step back and looking at this logically and critically, is that we're in a much better position now than we were last season. You know, at this point last season, we were, 8, 9, 10 points off top four. Now that's only 3. We have been knocked out of the Conference League at this time last season. We're now in the last 16 of the Champions League. And we still have the FA Cup that we're fighting for, like you mentioned, with 11 Premier League teams out, including Liverpool. If these two signings that we've made this window can have even 75% of the impact that Dejan Kulusevski and Rodrigo Bentancur had last season, we're in for a very exciting couple of months. Now, I don't think they're going to be as good as those two were, because they were just absolutely fantastic signings, and you don't often get that lucky. But if things start going Tottenham's way, there's really huge potential for what we can achieve this season. But I'm not going to get too excited yet. I'm not saying we're winning the Champions League, we're getting top four and that. I just think a bit of form, let's get out of this rut we're in, stop conceding goals, you know, have someone on the right who can create a bit more up top. This season is still very, very much alive for Spurs, and I will regret saying this, but I'm excited to see what will happen.
Yeah, well, the thing I can share with you, Matty, is that we shared that moment where that Poro deal was being broken, and me and you kept extremely calm for that moment. funny, because the chat was going, I must say, the chats were going ballistic, saying, why aren't you guys celebrating and jumping? I think when you're doing a show with a journalist that you've got on, even I think we couldn't quite believe what was coming through to us, given the nature of the morning before. But it feels like we should only end it on where we started, that, as we understand from good friend of the show, Fabrizio Romano, of course, was on the show on Friday. And he, to be fair to Fab, look, he was confident all along. I've got to say that. He's been confident all along, Fab, that this deal would get done. No hesitation. He was, from the start of January on here, saying it'll get done. At the end of it, he was as well. And as we understand it, finally here, Spurs have, as Matt announced there, have rescheduled that medical, not meeting, rescheduled that medical for test for Pedro Poro. It's planned. It was planned on Monday, but it will now happen on Tuesday, deadline day. It's all done. It's sealed. Spurs and Sporting has revealed Poro will become a Tottenham player for a fee of €45 million. He will be a Spurs player. And I've got to ask you, Matt, if he is, like I say, over the line and done, any hesitation in front of him against his former club? Isn't that crazy how football works like that?
Yeah, no, it is bad. And like the question we asked Sammy when that Cancelo to Bayern news was broken, there's a lot of Spurs fans. I put out a tweet 2 days ago when we got the first here we go. I said, surely Porro starts against Man City. And I started getting replies saying, yeah, first City. But yeah, it is crazy how football works. For me, put him in there. Put him in that starting 11. I know Emerson, probably one of his best performances this season was that, I suppose, that first half against Manchester City. But yeah, we need that excitement. You know, we'll all be looking forward to that team news and hoping that Porro is on there. And just getting to see him for the first time at the new ground. For me, I'd throw him straight in there and watch him get a hat-trick.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be very exciting, Matt, as well, to see the likes of, again, you have Porro, Romero, Bentancourt, potentially Kulusevski in the same field, Kane, Son. I mean, I think we understand Richarlison hopefully is going to be back from injury, from that small injury. You know, it's starting, when you look at the squad, Matt, and again, argument will be we still need to do more. And I've said it on time and time again, we still need to do more to improve the squad. But, I mean, I think we face City and should be in no fear. Should we, Matt, based on the way they've been playing this season?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that. And I'm just excited to see the squad kind of come together and, again, see what it can achieve. Because with a manager like Conte, again, I know there's a lot of frustrations there, but he is one of the best out there. We're lucky to have him. And we're starting to see a squad that is being built for him. You know, we've spoken a lot about our squad for so long has been some players from Pochettino, some from Jose, some from Nuno, but we're starting to see something come together at the moment. And again, let's just hope it doesn't go awry.
I think that's going to be my final question, but I have to just ask you there, based on what you're saying there with Conte, you know, by the fact that, you know, they would have delivered Porro, arguably a player that he would have, you know, really wanted. You yourself, arguably the trendsetter in Europe for being the wing back that everybody would arguably like. Do you think if we have a really good, strong end to the second half of this season, Conte maybe reevaluates things and maybe thinks, you know what, we're not far away?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, in a similar vein to Brian Hill, I don't think Antonio Conte's decision will be purely football based. It's very well documented the personal struggles that he's had, I think if his decision comes down to that, I don't think any Spurs fan can hold a grudge against him. But if things do start coming together, I see no reason why that would sway him towards staying at Tottenham, because Jose Mourinho, the only club he's never won a trophy, is Tottenham Hotspur. We've seen Mauricio Pochettino go out to France and win trophies. Even Nuno Espirito Santo won his first trophy in Saudi Arabia during the week. So the Tottenham job, I think in recent years, has become a bit of a poison chalice. But for any manager who can come in and end that trophy drought, that's a damn impressive thing to have on their CV. And I think that's it's been Antonio Conte's goal since he came in. And I think if he feels as though he's getting close to that and as though it's something he can achieve, I feel it would be quite difficult for him to walk away and kind of give up the painstaking 18 months that he's had here so far.
Absolutely, mate. Look, it feels only the right way to end the show. Matt, finally, you've been joining us throughout the whole month, as you did in the summer. And again, we'll have you, mate, as always, loving you having you on Last Word on Spurs. We've got lots of shows lined up, post-match analysis, which you'll be back for. Hopefully some positive ones. Matt, for anyone that doesn't follow you on social media, I know there's so much love for you in the comments right now. There's about 800, 900 of you watching us live. Matt, where can everybody find what you do, how you do it, and do it so well?
Well, look, firstly, Ricky, I want to thank you for, again, another opportunity to spend the transfer window with you and the many esteemed guests that we've had on the show. It's always an honour and a privilege and a pleasure. And I've thoroughly enjoyed the window here. Thanks, everyone, for the lovely comments as well. We always see those. Don't ever think that those are missed. If you want to follow me on Twitter, my handle is just below me there for everyone watching on YouTube. It's at Matt Hayes, THFC. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. A bit more regular on the updates on there. Sometimes a bit angry, but aren't we all?
Mate, I've absolutely loved having you on, mate. We're going to be having you back on for lots of post-match analysis shows. Guys, Pedro Porro is closing in on becoming a Tottenham Hotspur player. He doesn't know what's going to hit him. He'll find out soon fast what it's like being Spurs. But honestly, from all of us here, from myself, from Matty, go and follow him on his own YouTube channel, please. Go and follow him on Twitter. Make sure you follow the wonderful Matty Hayes. But from myself, from the brilliant Sammy Mottbell from earlier from the Daily Mail, guys, we will see you very, very soon. Pedro Porro is coming to Tottenham. As always, please keep safe, keep well. Don't let me down with that statement, Tottenham. And as always, come on, you Spurs.
Sports Social Podcast Network.